Thanks, church. How are we going? We good? Who loves Jesus? Amen. Amen. Oh, it's just great to be in the house of God this morning. And why don't we just turn our attention to the Lord and just commit the next few moments to Him. Lord, we just become aware of You here. Lord, we thank You that You are here with us. Thank You, Jesus, for Your great love. Lord, we thank You for Your presence. Lord, You are not a God that is far off. You are not an angry ruler needing slaves to follow Your orders, but You are a loving Father. So, Lord, we just come before You as Your children, as Your sons and as Your daughters, and we are so thankful for Your love. And we just say that we love You. We open our hearts to You. Why don't you just tell Him, just, Jesus, I love You. Jesus, You're beautiful. You're incredible. I thank You that You're here. We bless Your name. We bless Your name. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, thank You, Lord, for your presence. Holy Spirit, would You just come and meet with each and every one of us this morning? Holy Spirit, would You just connect us to Jesus? And Jesus, oh, would You reveal Abba Father to us this morning in Your holy and precious name? Amen. Amen. Our sweet little Esther turned 3 this week, which was just fun. And we braved the Bluey show at the Mech. Does anyone? So the guys had asked me, they were saying there's probably plenty of sermon material from there. So I want to just speak about Bluey being the 13th disciple of... No, okay. I want to share just about living a life aware of the presence, no matter what, where we find ourselves. Who knows, we can sometimes go through seasons in life where it's like, God feels so close, we're hearing His voice, that just things feel easy, there's just a flow, there's just revelation pouring out from the Scriptures, and it's almost like effortless that the Lord is just so clear and so close. And how many of us know that we can also go through seasons that maybe aren't quite like that? It feels a bit dry, or it feels like maybe He's not, I don't know, God's not speaking, or things just don't feel as easy as they used to. Let's be real. Can I have a show of hands? Who feels like they're in one of those mountaintop, everything's easy, just waking up, feeling inspired seasons? Great. Awesome. Yes, there are some hands. We should celebrate that. Everyone's like, is this a trick question? Am I allowed to... And how many of us are like, yeah, if I'm real, it feels like it's a bit dry out here at the moment. And yeah, things aren't as, yeah, yeah. I want to speak about what do we do in those moments? What do we do in those seasons? And how do we stay aware of the Lord if we're on the mountaintop, if we're on flat ground, if we feel like we're in a valley? How do we navigate those seasons and all of the in-betweens? And if you've got your Bible, if you could turn to Mark chapter 9. This is the story about the Mount of Transfiguration. So picking up from verse 2. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain." Can everyone say high mountain? "By themselves, and He was transfigured before them. And His clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them." Not even nappy sand, nothing. Nappy sand's not bleach. Can you tell I don't do washing too much? "And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, it is good that we are here.'" I love, Peter's great. Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and for Moses and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. In verse 9, and as they were coming down the mountain, everyone say, coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So we have the mountaintop, this place of revelation, this place of inspiration, of glorious encounter, where they see Jesus transfigured into his glorified form, transfigured right before their eyes. And then they come down from the mountain. If we read on further in that chapter, they come down, there's the disciples are having an argument with the rabbis, with the scribes. There's people everywhere. There's a crowd gathering. There's a demon-possessed boy. Like, there's a lot going on. So we've got the mountain. We've got the flat ground. And I just want to share just a couple of thoughts around some lessons from the mountaintop. The first one is they didn't stay on the mountain. They didn't remain there. Where did Jesus and his disciples spend essentially all of their time together? It was just in the day-to-day, in the hustle, the bustle, the crowds, the busyness. It wasn't on a mountaintop, that whole, 3 years where Jesus' ministry occurs. We can't fall into the trap of thinking that our whole life is spent up on a mountaintop. The danger, if we do, is that we will then begin to base our life with the Lord on a feeling. I feel inspired. I feel he's close. I see him and this must just be all that there is to the Christian life, that if I feel him and I see him right there, and that's the only place that I can remain. There is a time of leaving the mountain. And who knows that if we didn't have varying degrees of terrain, there would be no such thing as a mountain. If there were no valleys, there would be no mountain, and vice versa. We need the contrast, we need the tension, and we need both, don't we? The second thing to note is they didn't get an explanation. Well, not that we read from the scriptures. It's not like we read that, when they're going up the mountain, Jesus is like, I took you three because of this, and what we're going to do is I'm going to just change right before your eyes, and this is why I'm doing it. And so don't freak out. It's all going to make sense to you because I'm going to unpack it. It's like Jesus just got up there. He didn't say, 3, 2, 1, watch this. He just pretty much ignored them, didn't he? Transfigured before them. He's talking to Moses and Elijah. And the disciples are like, what is going on? And then you can hear like the frenetic energy of Peter, like, what do I do? Jesus, it is so good that we're here. Okay, tents. Let's make some altars. Let's do that, guys. Come on, you can feel the almost the anxiety in the moment. Hey, things were just happening and they were trying to like keep up almost. But who knows that, when God starts to move or when God shows up in our life, we can either be really quick to try and figure out what's happening or what do I need to do or what does this mean, and try and rationalize or try and have things to make sense in our minds to understand it, rather than just simply stopping and just encountering, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing in my life right now, but here you are before me. I just want to receive everything that you, I don't want to miss a moment. It doesn't make sense. They experienced a level of God's glory that hadn't been revealed so closely to a human before this moment. What is our response is, when God's presence rocks up, do we freak out? Oh, I got to figure this out. What do I do? I got to make sure that I can do something just to make sure this doesn't disappear. And Or can we just simply just behold, keep our eyes fixed on the Lord? I don't get it, but I'm believing that something is being imparted. He's revealing a side to himself that I haven't seen before. I just want to receive all that he has. The best posture we can have is just to embrace whatever he is doing, even if it is beyond our understanding. And I think sometimes those mountaintop experiences, those mountaintop seasons, are simply for that. Just for us to, for him to impart part of his nature to us. For us to be seeing him and to be changed more like him. A third point. So they didn't go down the mountain alone. Jesus didn't stay up here and go, guys, all right, back down you go. I just need a... I'm talking with Moses and Elijah. I'm in my glorified state. Off you go. You've seen me up here. See you later. Jesus came down the mountain, didn't he? And this is such a beautiful reminder for ourselves that he is God with us on the mountaintop, and he is God with us in the mundane, in the day-to-day, in the routine, in the changing nappies or doing the morning routine or going to work. It's not that he is with us when we feel it, and then if we don't feel it, oh, you mustn't be here anymore. I'm just back on my own again. But this is the lie that I believe the enemy tries to feed us if we let him. Oh, you felt inspired, but you don't anymore. What did you do? Like even with all of Peter's nervous energy, like God the Father even rocks up and speaks. And it's not like, oh, well, Peter, you stuffed it up now. All right, see you later. You're on your own. Got to figure your way out to get back up this mountain and try and keep this, you know what I mean? A fourth thing is that we are to carry his glory and his kingdom wherever we go. Wherever we go. The question for us is, am I bringing what I have seen, what I have encountered down the mountain and into the everyday? I have seen him, I have experienced a new level of his glory. Can I bring that into the seasons of not feeling inspired, of not feeling that felt motivational presence? We see him as, like I said, as we read on Jesus, he starts to minister to a demon-possessed boy, and he's frustrated with the disciples because he's like, you guys should have been able to handle this. There's the needs, there's the everyday problems, but we have the kingdom within us that needs to come out, and it's beautiful hearing these testimonies from the weekend because that's what it is. It's this encountering his glory, encountering his presence, knowing he is with us. And when we're out and about, his glory, his presence, his kingdom is just flowing straight through us. Our encounters with Jesus should be unto transformation and revelation. Something should shift inside of us, where we come away different. Should be unto an awareness of the authority that we have with Jesus. It says in the scriptures, Jesus says, greater works you shall do. It's so mind-boggling to grasp, but it's the truth. Greater works you and I will do. And that happens as we are aware that he is within us, the kingdom, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name that is above every name. He is just as close when we're arms stretched, tears rolling down our face in worship, than when we're going through it, having a week. Jesus isn't like, oh, okay, I'm going to take a couple of steps back and just wait till you sort yourself up, figure out how to get back to me, and then we'll keep moving. No, no. He is with us. He is with us. These seasons, they build in us an awareness of who Jesus is. I think about, you know, if I was Peter, James, and John, and you have just seen Jesus transfigured before you, you've been walking with him, and then, wow, this is who he really is? Oh my goodness. Coming down the mountain, would you, that would stick with you, wouldn't it? That would truly mark you. I know who he is. It's unto an awareness, a new revelation of who he is. I think the other distinction that's important to note is our loyalty to Jesus isn't tested on the mountaintop, is it? Our faithfulness to Christ, it's not tested on the mountaintop. It's really easy when we're feeling inspired to dig into the scriptures. It's really easy when we feel him close to just, you know, raise our hands, sing a hallelujah. When we're feeling inspired to go and pray for someone. But the true test of our loyalty, our devotion to the Lord is, are we going to step into that authority when we don't feel like it? Is this just going to become a lifestyle of how we live, of knowing that he is Emmanuel, God with us? I was reading a little story about Benny Hinn. He was talking with some evangelical sisters back in the 90s, and they were having a conversation, and he was saying, I've felt the Lord's presence so close every day for a year now. Now it's gone. What do I do? Like, how do I get it back? And the response was, that's good, I'm so glad. Now you'll grow. Now you grow. Our depths in the Lord take place in the everyday, doesn't it? We see fertile soil, we see rich vegetation, not on the highest mountain peaks, but down below, amen? So this is what the Lord is wanting us to carry as sons and daughters with the kingdom within us. That we can take what we have experienced, encountered, see a new side of the Lord, whatever it might be, and that we can still just continue to walk faithfully and faithfully day in, day out, knowing that we are loved, knowing that he is with us, knowing that we are co-laboring with him, no matter what is going on. That his faithfulness is not dependent on our emotional regulation. Praise the Lord for that. as many of you know, Beck and I, we moved up here in 2020, and I had a beautiful season with the Lord for probably around 18 months, I want to say. You know, I've been a follower of the Lord. I got saved when I was 6 or 7. That was all of the gen sets. 6 years old, somewhere around there. Genuinely didn't mean that. And now I've lost where I was going. Most mornings, I would... Anyway, yeah. Got saved when I was very young. I'll just say that. But that 18-month season was something that I'd never experienced. It was like nearly every single morning I woke up and it was like I felt the Lord so close. And I would wake up and I would, you know, feel like his voice was so clear. I filled a journal just because I, you know, very quickly because I was just writing his revelations. I was writing lots of songs. The Lord was doing a deep healing work in my heart. There was just communing with the Lord. And then, you know, it was 2020, so fast forward to Extreme Conference in 2021. I think it was on the last night. I had a wild encounter. It was a blubbering mess up here. And the Lord was just, I was flat on my face. There's still all the snot that, no, kidding. I was just doing Peter, like, let me make a tent here. This is my little, like, memorial of, it is good for me to be here. And it was just like the Lord was, you know, just kind of bringing all of these ties over the past 18 months together and was just, I was, oh, thank you, Lord, like, beautiful. And then, you know, some days later, I woke up and I was like, oh, that felt presence, it's not there anymore. Was that something? It's the questions. Oh, did I do something wrong? Have I not been? Do I need to wake up earlier and read? Do I need to read more? How do I get that back? But it's not the case. Again, because then that would bring us back into religion. It would bring us back into striving. It would bring us back into works. It would bring us back into performance. That's old covenant. Can I walk forward and know He is still with me? That His voice is still speaking. Can I carry what He revealed and just let that be part of my everyday? And, you know, that's over 5 years ago now. I can confidently say that there's been, I'm still a work in progress just as much as anyone else, but there has been beautiful growth that I would say that has taken place over those years. So don't believe the lie that can't happen unless I'm feeling it, or He's not with me unless I'm feeling it. He's not speaking. I'm not feeling that inspiration. No, He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And this is where the growth occurs. This is where the depth in our relationship with the Lord deepens. When it's, I'm feeling tired and I am waking up and just reading my word because He's here. This is alive. Or I've been up three times with young babies and toddlers through the night and I'm not sleeping and God's not like, oh, okay, see you later. No, 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 you didn't get up for me. See you later. Figure it out, you're on your own. It says He knows our frame. He knows our frame. I think of the Israelites when they're in the wilderness and, you know, the Lord is just giving them manna. It's this supply every day. Did that happen when they crossed over the Jordan, conquered Jericho? They're in the promised land now. They had to move from supply to provision, to knowing He is my provider, and I apprehend what I know He's already given me. Perhaps the team can come and join me. I saw we'll flick over to Psalm 23. I saw a beautiful depiction of Psalm 23 that I hadn't seen before from a man called Dave Adamson. And Psalm 23, very famous psalm. This is on the left is a picture of a shepherd in Israel. And, you know, we know the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake." There's this picture of Him leading us unto something, unto somewhere. For those sheep, they are looking at the shepherd. He is clearly in front of them, knowing where they are going. But reading on, there's something beautiful that happens as things get darker. Where's the shepherd situated? It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. With me. There's a progression, a transition that occurs in those low seasons, in those dark moments. Jesus actually, he comes closer, whether we're aware of it or not. I think about those sheep right at the front. They don't know where the shepherd is, do they? It's actually behind them, but he's with them. Perhaps the sheep right out on the fringes, same scenario. He is with them. And this is such a beautiful truth, that whether we are on the mountaintop, beholding the Lord in all his glory, he is with us. Whether we're walking down the mountain, he is with us. Whether on the day-to-day, the mundane, the flat ground, he is with us. Whether we're in the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. We might not necessarily see him like we did in a previous season, or it's things feel different, or circumstances change, or whatever it might be, but he is still Emmanuel, God with us. And this is, hear the tension, because this isn't, you know, I believe there are things that we can do to willfully kind of block him out. Doesn't mean he's leaving, but we can kind of just go, you're here, but I'm just going to ignore you and do my own thing. But even then, he's so faithful and he's so kind. He's still with us, because he doesn't change, does he? And this is, really, it's less about where we are, and it's more about who we are with. Let's get our eyes off self, keeping ourselves at the center. Am I on the mountain? Am I on the flat ground? Am I in the valley? And let's move our eyes onto Christ. Who am I with? Jesus. He's Emmanuel. He's God with me. He's God with you. He's God with us. I don't know. I don't really know where I am, but Jesus is with me. What a beautiful promise. Let us renew our minds with this truth, so that there can be such a grit, a depth, a stickability, that it's like, come hell or high water, I'm not swayed, because the Lord is with me. If I'm feeling it, or if I'm having one of those days, he's Emmanuel. He doesn't change. He's with me. Why don't we all stand this morning? I really felt that the Lord wanted to remind some people of his nearness today. Irrespective of, again, where you are, let's just, perhaps you might want to close your eyes. Perhaps you might just open your heart. Cast your eyes off your circumstance and just step into that truth that he is here with us. I wanted us to sing a song this morning called What a Friend I've Found. Perhaps you know it. If you do, please sing along. But let's just, really, this is all about beholding Jesus. Stepping into that awareness that he is Emmanuel. He is with us. And that is unchanging.